In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Thank you for joining us for the Word for Life broadcast this morning, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. And my name is Pastor Ken, and I'm thankful to have Jack Gardner, our producer for the Word for Life in studio. And so, Jack, hope you've had a great week, and I look forward to this weekend. And friends, I hope you have a good church home that you're involved in and you stay faithful. And if you're looking for a church home, we would invite you to come join us at Brookside Baptist Church, where we're just about ready to finish up the book of Jonah. And then we'll be looking into a series in Corinthians. But we've been in the Word for Life, Jack, now on the study of Joshua. What I'm curious, anything that this really has stood out to you as we finally have gotten through chapter one? Anything that just jumps out to you that, you know, I just picked this up from what Joshua did or what he was going through or what the people were going through?
Well, you know, just the fact that it isn't going to be easy, that it does take faith. And in the whole chain of command, you know, from God down through us and him using us and using Joshua, using Moses first, using, you know, and how it really goes back to the whole body being used, which is obviously biblical too, you know, that everybody has their important parts. And these leaders certainly had theirs.
And, you know, we're told in the New Testament that they are examples for us, and examples really of faithful living. I mean, that would really be a theme as we go into chapter two here, just again, faith and living by faith. You know, moving from faith, from theory to reality is essential. Yet, as you mentioned, it's not easy. I mean, it's a tough assignment. It's so much easier to talk it than walk it. You know, if we decide to implement faith, it's not long before it begins to impact the roots of our existence. It's going to impact our homes. You know, faith was never designed to just play some sterile role in the realm of fantasy. Rather, it was given to us to operate in the trenches of everyday living, because we don't know, we're told, what a day will bring forth. And it's in those times of crises that our faith is being tested and challenged that we continue to keep our eyes focused on the Lord. You know, someone once said, we're surrounded by padded cushions, beautiful music on Sundays, well-dressed people, and strong affirmation. And it's difficult for many churchgoers to enter into the realism of Scripture. And when we come, Jack, to these stories as remarkable and dramatic as the one that we're about, you know, to engage in here in chapter two, sometimes it's even harder for us to grasp it. Yet these things that are recorded for us happened to real people, not some super spiritual group of people, but real people. People who possess no great capacity for comprehending, you know, the phenomenal. And so we're reading an accurate account of the exploits of a woman whose message really was on the roof of her home. And it comes about to faith and her acts on her newfound faith. So in Joshua chapter 2 is where our story actually takes place this morning. And we will read about a lost pagan woman who lived in the city of Jericho, yet she became one of the most honored women in the Bible. And I think on the last broadcast, I actually said that in Hebrews chapter 11, she is one of two that are actually mentioned in the Great Faith chapter. In the book of James, she's exemplified as an illustration of works, where that's where we see the motto of practical Christianity, I'll show you my faith by my works. And so my works are part of, again, what I believe. Someone said, well, are works necessary for my salvation? No, works are like a PS to say, God, thank you. You know, thank you for what you've done in my life. And yet there are denominations that will take the book of James and say, no, it's by works that a person is saved. And I remember meeting with a guy, and he said, you show me one verse that says it's by faith alone, because I'm showing you here in James, it's emphasized that it's not by faith, it's by works. And I looked at him, and I said, I'm going to show you chapters and books of the Bible that emphasize it's of faith.
Mm-hmm.
James was written primarily to believers. That's the context of the book of James. And so my works and my faith are put together. And so we see with Rahab this picture of faith in action. And so we come to this point in this narrative that's both revealing and ethically, it can be a little complicated because she lies and the tribes are protected from Rahab. You know, many have described her as being courageous in her faith, and I would agree, as being confessional of her faith, and I would agree, and confident in her faith, and again, I would agree. Look with me at verse 1. If you're at home and you're studying, but if you're driving along, let's just read for you the first verse of Joshua chapter 2 for you.
Now Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there.
So Joshua, now he's the general here of the Lord's army, and he's right on the verge of instigating their conquest of the land, which, if you remember, back in chapter 1 and verse 3, God told Joshua, here's what I'm promising you. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. You might be thinking then, so why would Joshua bother to send two spies on some reconnaissance mission to check out Jericho? I mean, doesn't that seem unnecessary? I mean, because God already decreed, I'm going to give Joshua the land. But let's understand a principle which is all throughout Scripture. Even though God has promised and God will fulfill, we are still given the responsibility of due diligence in order to bring it to pass. Joshua adopted every precaution which a skillful general would think of to render his first attempt in the invasion of Canaan successful. Remember, it was God who ordered the first spies out way back in Numbers chapter 13, and the 12 went. 10 of them came back with the report, nah, it can't happen. They're too big for us. They're giants. Two spies, Joshua and Caleb, came back with a wonderful report, and their eyes were focused on, this is what God is giving to us to possess the land. Yet this time, Joshua is acting as the leader on God's behalf, and he orders two men, two special ops, maybe Navy SEALs or Green Beret or something of that caliber, to access the strength of the hostile environment and especially the city of Jericho. And it says he sent them secretly. That is, not even the Israelites had knowledge, let alone the Canaanites. He didn't want his people to know. Maybe he was remembering what took place the last time they knew. So he sends these men out, and they go out on a three-day mission. They would have to swim the Jordan. The Jordan didn't cross at that time, and they probably had to do it at night. They had to approach that strong, fortified city of Jericho. I mean, you talk about fortified, I've been there. Not to the actual city that they went into because the walls came crumbling down, but Jericho, there is a Jericho there now, and they do have a section that archaeologists are trying to develop that were all about that city that these men went into. I mean, they had to get inside the gate, they had to scout around, they had to find a place to lodge, and then they had to come back with their findings. And I do think it's interesting, he chose two men, maybe a lot like Caleb and himself, who were the two who came back with the positive message, God will give us the land.
Mm-hmm.
You think of a woman here, Rahab, who was totally courageous in her faith. Her past is given to us. We're told she's a harlot. She had a reputation, Jack, really no woman ever would want.
Mm-hmm.
Rahab is mentioned in five chapters in the Scriptures. Can you believe that Rahab was in the line of the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1. There are four women mentioned in that genealogy. And all four women would probably be the women that you necessarily wouldn't want to pick.
There's another example of the Lord bringing a perfect Savior through imperfect
people.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And in four of those chapters in Scripture, it uses the same words to describe who she was. It says, Rahab the harlot. She's also a Canaanite. The Canaanites did not believe in the true God. They were wicked in their allegiance to Baal. They offered many times their babies as sacrifices to Baal. Speaking of which, we're thankful for the Supreme Court's decision to get back to the Constitution and to strike down Roe versus Wade and give it back to the states. And
most certainly.
And what an answer to prayer for many that have been praying, because that's what we've been doing too. We've been killing our children in the womb. Their temples were filled with prostitution. As a Canaanite, her allegiance would have to be to the king of Jericho. But her position in the city was very strategic, and these two spies saw that. Her house had a very strategic position. Archaeologists have discovered that the city was surrounded by double walls with 12 feet between them. And it's believed that her house was built between the two walls. So the outside wall was at her disposal. Her house was likely an inn. Maybe it was a tavern. It was a way station. It was definitely a public gathering of people, or maybe a combination of all of it. But it was a place where people wanted to go and be anonymous. Where prostitution abounds, there is also a certain anonymity that people prefer. You know, the Bible doesn't say why they went to this house, but I believe it was a place that foreigners would not typically stand out. I believe there were good reasons for that, not bad behavior on their part. And in verses 2 through 7, we're going to really see Rahab's actions. Why don't you read verses 2 and 3 for us there of chapter 2 of Joshua?
And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country." So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country."
Isn't it amazing? They had to be really good at spying, and Joshua sent his best out, and the king of Jericho already spots him.
It didn't take long, look like, did it?
And the army of Israel, I mean, the king of Jericho knew the army of Israel was camped 14 miles away, and that was a huge number of people and warriors there. He knew where Israel was now located, and he was probably on heightened alert. And we're told she hid the spies, and in hiding them, she did two things. She gave them shelter, and she gave them courage. What is remarkable also here is you have this woman who takes charge of the whole situation. She's like a mother hen. She takes these two elite soldiers that have come into her house, and she mothers them. She scurries them upstairs, hides them under the stalks of flax, and then sends soldiers of Jericho on a wild goose chase in order to protect these fierce soldiers of Israel.
And takes a massive, massive chance with her own life.
She is taking great risk for her own life to tell a lie and to deceive the representatives of the king of Jericho. And this great ethical question is what we face. Is her lie justified? And Jack, we have come to the conclusion of this broadcast, and we will have to pick that up, which everyone wants to know. How was her lie justified? And we will discuss that in our next session. I trust you've had a time here with us that's been encouraging to you and will strengthen your faith. Have a great day.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.